Welcome to Bleeping Motherhood. I'm Bleeping Audrey with Bleeping Carrie, and it's good to be back. We took a couple of days off just to, you know, get our mommy stuff done, and it's good to be back. Huh, Carrie?
Hey, it's great. I got all the shit stains out.
That's awesome. I love shit stains. Fantastic. So thanks, everybody, for listening in. Tonight, we're actually going to be telling some personal stories, and I know we all have them. We're going to be talking about moments that we consider to be just almost like hellish moments that in the moment just seem like the worst thing in the world. And I actually have one relating to a recent thing that happened to us. And it's so innocently about balloons, but
isn't it always? Is it always about balloons?
It's always about balloons. So it's Valentine's week, and Sophia's school happens to have a fundraiser, and I said, you know what, I'm going to get the kids a couple balloons. They'll love me for it. They're Mylar, which I know are like, you know, puppies to most children. So
Ooh, shiny
things float in the sky. So it's pickup day. I go to school and I find out that the balloons are not there. They're not available. And I hype the kids up. We're going to get a special thing. They know it's the balloons. So hearing
you don't just carry like random candy in your bag so you can be like, oh shit, it's all gone to hell.
Well,
here's some candy.
I do actually have regular latex balloons hidden around the house for moments like this, but I didn't have any in the car. I didn't have any in my purse. But now, you know, after you go through it, you know what you have to have in your first aid kit. So the teacher's like, oh my God, you can come back tomorrow. I'm like, no, I have to leave with these today. This is not happening. So I'm picturing in my head, like, what's going to go down. And however it worked out, the lady pulled out two Mylar, beautiful Valentine's Day balloons, and we walked out super excited. So then we're trotting off to the grocery store, and the kids had to have these things attached at the hip. We go in the grocery store, and they're, like, coming out of the cart. You know, like, I can't even see where I'm going because I have these two big balloons in front of my face. They're getting in the way of everybody at the store. They're getting in my way. But, of course, you gotta appease the children. So we're trotting down aisle 5, and we're done, you know, thank God the trip's over with. And Sophia somehow lets go of her balloon. I had it attached to her. It's all the way up in this high grocery store ceiling. And she starts crying. And she's hysterical. And I'm like, shit, what am I going to do? What am I going to do? You know, people are like, oh, you know, balloon. How you can get that balloon? So I tried looking for something to stand on. And the store workers are like, don't stand on that, because they're thinking, lawsuit, this lady's going to fall.
Meanwhile, you're like running on the conveyor belt, like a jumping gerbil.
I guess I am a jumping gerbil, crawling up the walls, trying to get this damn balloon. I can't reach it. It's too damn high. A manager, thank God, sees what's happening. She comes over with this pole, this metal pole, that looked like a stripper pole, but a little bit slimmer. I'm like, what is she doing in her office? And she comes, I'm like, what is she going to do with this pole? She's going to break the balloon. It's going to be even worse. So she takes a ball of tape, tapes it to the end of the pole, slips it up to the top of the ceiling, and pulls this balloon down. And like, I'm clapping. Shit's like amazing. Sophia's excited. And we run the hell out of there. And I'm thinking, all right, this was not one of my, you know, level 10 grocery trips. I scored like a negative 7 on this one. So we get the kids in the car. We're bags are in the car. And I go to snap them in thinking, okay, relief. Because every time I go grocery shopping, I'm just thinking, just I want to be on the other end of it. Because I know it's like a shitty time for me. I just want to get the hell out of there. I snap her in. I'm thinking, oh, God, yes, let's just get home, get lunch, and move on with our day. When the freaking balloon goes flying out the door, gone.
You got to work on your attachment protocols.
Gone. So now Sophia is in round two of balloon morning, and I'm running down the parking lot thinking, all right, this is, it's a goner. It's just, let's give up on the balloons today. It's done. It's dead. So,
but you're still going.
I said, I got to give it a shot. You always got to give it a shot. So yeah. The balloon has like those, one of those little clips attached to the bottom of it. So I had a little bit of weight on it, but it's windy as balls that day. It's windy.
It's Valentine's Day.
Yeah. And I'm running and I see it and I'm just out of its grasp and it's just about to go up into the sky and I grab it and it's mine and I run with it back to the car and there's people watching and they're like, yeah, you did it. I'm like, I got it. So I get back in the car.
You made Odell Beckham Jr. look bad with your receipt skills.
Yes, I'm like total badass with my balloon. And I hand it to Sophia. She really didn't like, you know, think anything of me for saving her balloon. She was just glad that her balloon was safe and sound. And then Mikey, you know, holding onto his balloon loud and proud. And that was it. We get back, and I when we pulled into the driveway, though, I got both of those balloons basically, like, under my shirt and brought them inside.
Duct taped them to the kids' heads.
I made sure they were safe. And that was it. And I just broke a sweat telling that story because you can imagine how sweaty. I was so sweaty that day after that whole experience.
And the adrenaline rush. Yes. The adrenaline rush and the retelling.
Yes. It was like, and now it's over. And now I feel accomplished because I know that balloon made it through. Mm. Mylars, man. Mylars.
The shinies.
Oh, Carrie, I know you got some hellish moments. We all do. Tell me.
Well, I, as a rule, I try not to ever take my kids to the store, ever, any store, whatsoever.
Goddamn, in the store, they're like different people.
Like, if I do take them to the store, I first try to take them to a park for like 6 hours, get them exhausted and hungry, and then I feed them the entire time through the store.
That's a fantastic idea.
Yeah, that was my plan for a while.
Yes.
So my hellish story involves skiing. So I talked about a couple weeks ago about how, I got back on the slopes for the first time in 8 years. And so we're like, well, now it's time to take the kids. Let's do it. We had bought them skis last year. We had pushed them down the hill to get them acclimated to them.
Good.
Last year we did it again this year with the one time it snowed. And so we're like, all right, let's do it. Let's take them to a ski resort. So this great local mountain, and we go there. And as we're in the parking lot, like, I had a moment of, like, nostalgia and panic because I realized that A-Train is really only three. And I first learned to ski when I was five, and this girl is only three. Like, what are we doing? Is this the dumbest idea ever? There's a reason you wait till five. Nah, it'll be fine. Whatever, let's not think about it. And she's free, so it's not even like I'm paying for a lift ticket. I'm just paying for my lift ticket to take her on the magic carpet. And because both Mike and I are good skiers, we're like, you know, we can do this. And so we put M-Dog into a class because those are free, and we'll do anything that's free. And so I'm taking A-Train. We get on the magic carpet, and I've never taught a child to ski before. Like, I taught my friends in high school, but I never taught a child. And I haven't really skied in 8 years. So I'm getting on there, like, fully equipped with, like, my skis, my poles. But it's warm enough that I don't even have my gloves on. We go up the magic carpet, which is just like a conveyor belt with kind of grippies on it. So you can ride up it.
Yeah,
we get up
there. I'm really liking that this magic carpet nickname for this thing.
Yeah, it's amazing. We go up there. Everything kind of works. Like, I pick her up, or, like, she gets off. She goes down the mountain with me with help. The first time, it's great. We do it the second time. I'm starting to feel good. I'm getting a little confident, maybe even a little too confident. We get up to the top. I get past her. I put my poles in one hand, which are completely useless, and I poke her in the eye.
Oh.
Like, at the top of the mountain, right at the end of the lift, in the snowy cold, and she's like, looking at me like, trust is lost. How could my mother poke me in the eye with her ski pole? She's at the top of this mountain. Crying, and I gotta like take my skis off, pick her up to pull her away so everyone isn't like knocking into her because she's starting to cause a traffic jam at the top of the mountain. I pull her over, we go, and we just sit in the snow for like 15 minutes. Like, there's no permanent damage, there's no blood. There's, you know, I'm sure it hurts. It was just
a moment of my mommy poked me in the eye.
My mommy poked me in the eye. My mom wants to teach me to ski, but instead she pokes me in the eye with a pole. Yeah, so like 15, 20 minutes later, she recovers. I've watched like 7 groups of people go up and down the mountain 400 times. I think at this point, like Mike had put M-Dog in the lesson and he's off like skiing. And so we just sit up there. She cries and cries and cries. Now, Adrian is not a light crier. If this had happened to M-Dog, he would have, like, toughed it out, punched the snow a couple of times, and would have been good. A-Train would really like, she turns being upset into an art form.
Was there some pirouettes going on during these cries?
Her tears are like fireworks. Pew, out of her eye.
Some grandes,
Eventually, we get it together. She gets it together, and we go back to skiing. We probably, you know, I'd say we did like 4 total trips up and down the mountain, and she was done. And I had to go in and buy her a big donut.
Yeah, and a beer.
Yeah, at 9:30 in the morning. I'm like, does this coffee come with Kahlua?
Holy smokes, man. Yeah, that just...
If I could also round up this whole experience. So again, it's been 8 years since I've skied significantly. I don't have a ski body. In that time, I've also had 2 children. So there was one point where I get up to the top of the mountain. Get up to the top of the Magic Carpet ride. And I'm trying to avoid A-Train, and so I fall. I can't pick myself back up. I'm at the top of the mountain, unable to, like, use my stomach muscles to, like, and my leg muscles. I don't even know what muscles, but whatever muscles they are, I don't have them. Finally, like, a guy giving a lesson, a private lesson to somebody else comes and, like, offers me a hand, and then kind of, like, oof, as I, like, use all of his strength to pull myself up.
Jesus,
it's great.
So skiing at 3,
maybe not your best idea.
I guess I've never been skiing, so I guess I don't really know what age, you know, what's age appropriate, but I do want to know how many times or how many jokes you and Mike have exchanged around the magic carpet.
We have not spent enough time on that, actually.
I think you guys might need to invest a little time. I see that
in our future.
I think you should. Because we always know my mind is right in the gutter, so.
You know what we haven't talked about yet is our alcohol.
You know what? And that's while we're drinking it, let's talk about it. Carrie, what is your beverage this evening?
Well, I'm so glad you asked. So, one day at a church function, because us Episcopalians are well known for our drinking, one of the guys at our church brings a bottle of Pinot Noir that he made, and I'm like, what? Like, this is really good. I'm like, what's your price point on this? Like, how much does it cost you to make this? He's like, $2.50 a bottle. I'm like, this is $2.50. Yeah, like, this is really good. This is really drinkable. So this was right before Christmas. So Santa Claus brought me all of the equipment necessary to make wine, and I am drinking my first bottle that I started in January.
That's so exciting. I would love to make my own wine. I always pictured that I'd have to, like, do like the Lucille Ball barefoot thing with it. Is that
right? No, you don't have to. You can actually, from Amazon, you can buy the juice itself. And you can buy like a whole kit where like you buy the juice, there's a couple of other things that go
maybe
inside it.
Maybe I'll put that on Santa's list. Yeah.
I make Santa's list pretty easy for the Santa in my life.
Mm-hmm.
I make a pretty robust Amazon wish list. And then Santa just goes click to buy, click to buy, click to buy, click to buy, click to buy. And shopping's done.
That's pretty damn easy.
Yeah.
And Santa's probably like, that's so easy that I'm going to have to take it on a magic carpet ride. It's just so easy.
So, yeah. So, I mean, I haven't priced this out from, like, a juice perspective, but this is a pre-drinkable. It doesn't smell great, but it, you know, it can still mature.
Okay.
It can still age.
Okay.
But
is it cheese?
I don't know.
Is it cheese-worthy?
Cheese-worthy.
Like, would you have it with some cheese?
She's not at this point. I think I would want to give it some more time to age.
Okay. All right.
Apparently, I don't like them young.
Well, I must say that I'm very impressed with your winemaking skills.
Thank you, thank you. It'd probably be better if you could even taste it to know how impressed you are with me. But.
Well, one day I will... I will come on up and we will have some wine tasting. Mine is probably going to be horrible, so I will not force any of my wine on you. I will give you maybe a glass of Robitussin. It will probably taste better.
This is NyQuil, but I call it cherry wine.
Yeah. We'll give it that name. That's all good. Everything needs a little camouflage. So I think I'm going to go ride my magic carpet for the moment. And Carrie, you can go ahead and ride your magic carpet if you choose to. But
are you going to talk about what you're drinking? I'm not sure if we're both in the same conversation.
Well, you know what? Maybe I will talk about it because apparently I'm stuck on this whole, all I keep picturing is like Aladdin now. I'm having, ever since you mentioned that damn ski lift, I'm having problems concentrating. So I am drinking and I'm sweating, like I'm literally sweating, a Bud Light. It's ice cold. It's delicious. It's smooth and refreshing. And I read that right off the can.
Advertising works.
Yes, it does.
Saying.
Yes. And as I look at the side, it says superior drinkability.
You knew it. You didn't go for like the cores. You were like, I want the can that has superior drinkability.
Right, because how would I drink it if it wasn't superior drinkability?
Nobody ever claims mediocre drinkability.
Yeah.
They just say cost less.
Shit. Yeah. I would love to see the description on the side of the Natty Ice can because
I'll get you fucked up.
Yeah, basically. Are you in college? Here. That's what that one says.
I think Mike's like, yeah, Natty Ice 12-pack, $8. Like, I think we've talked about this recently, about, like, the Natty Ice 12-pack was $8. Like, you just don't get a better value than
you
that.
You don't. I tell you, if it's ice cold, I'll be fine with it. So, here's to the Bud Light drinkers, here's to the wine drinkers. Have a good evening. Have a great bleeping week, and till next time, cheers.